sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Welcome to the audio ministry of Salem Primitive Baptist Church, located in Graysville, Arkansas. I would like to thank you for listening in and hope you are blessed in the Word today. I would also like to invite you to come and worship with us in person. We have worship service every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube for the most current updates. You can find links to these and more information about us on our website. It's www.salempbchurch.com. Thank you again, and may you be blessed in the knowledge of our God and Father.
Of Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2 is where I want to try to pick back up this morning as we continue our study through this little book. I've enjoyed the study. I've enjoyed the thoughts. I pray that you have as well. I pray that you've noticed that there's a lot we can learn from this little book. I hope and pray that we continue to see that there's a lot that we can learn from this little book beyond just the fish story. So far, we've looked at Jonah and the amazing calling that God has given him to the calling that is a little awkward and odd for the Old Testament, for him to leave the kingdom and to go and to preach God to those outside the kingdom. I want us to recognize and to always understand the oddity of that calling, because it's a foreshadowing of the New Testament church. For us to be going outside the kingdom and to be crying unto others, even if it's an uncomfortable message. We see how God gave that calling to Jonah, telling him to go into Nineveh and to cry unto them their wicked ways, their things that have come up to them, their wickedness has come up to the Lord as a cry unto him, and he will not sustain it any longer. He tells Jonah to go to them and cry against them. Jonah says, no. He won't do it. We've looked at how Jonah went to Joppa and purchased a ticket to go to Tarshish, as far away from God as he could possibly do it. And I hope you always catch that. His running from the calling of God is truly a running from God himself. We cannot separate or differentiate between being a child of God and being called to do something with that blessing. If we run from what God has called on us to do, we are running from God himself, and we find ourselves in the same situation as Jonah, opening ourselves to chastisement and problems. Last week we looked at the chastisement that came on Jonah as he was in the ship and the storm come, and that was truly just the warning shot, this storm that came as he purchased his ticket for the tour to Tarshish, and the storm come upon him and tossed them to and fro, and you think, wow, that got really bad really quick, but really that was just the warning shot. And Jonah refused to cry unto God. They called the all hands on deck. Everybody come to the top of the ship. Everybody cry unto your God. Even these ungodly men, if you'll give me that liberty, they're crying unto little g God, so I know they're not calling unto God himself. Even these ungodly men recognize there's a God. And they recognize that he is their salvation. And they're crying unto anyone and everyone that we ought to cry unto your Lord and see if he will bless that this storm will cease. Jonah essentially says, I'd rather be thrown overboard. I know I'm the problem. I know I'm running from God. I know he's angry at me for doing so, but I'll not cry unto him. You can throw me overboard. It's the only hope you got. And much to his surprise, I believe, they did it. I still believe, and again, this is thus saith John, you take it for what you want. I believe that Jonah didn't think they would do it. He was one of those, well, just go for it. I dare you. And he found himself in the water. Now, unlike Peter, that found himself in the water in the midst of a stormy sea, Peter cried out the moment he realized he was sinking. Save me, Lord. And he did. Jonah found himself overboard and he sunk to the bottom. We looked last week at how his chastisement and realizing the blessing of the chastisement, I don't want to rush through this and miss the case, the truth that it is a blessing that Jonah is being chastised at this point. He had something he needed to learn. He had his stiff neck that needed to be broken so that he would turn to God. He was being stiff-necked, hard-hearted, stubborn old man. None of us are ever accused of that, right? He needed broken. And y'all know the Lord knows how to do that. The Lord knows exactly how much pressure it's going to take to break you. And when He needs to, He will. We looked at how this is chastisement coming from the Lord, and I want us to recognize that and understand that that's what's going on here. But this morning I want to, if the Lord be with us, I want to flip the coin and look at the other side of what is happening here. I want to look at the fish story this morning. It is truly what transcends Christianity and transcends the Scriptures. Everybody knows the story of Jonah and the whale. This is the story, this is the moment in the story that everybody wants to run to, everybody wants to think about. It goes beyond the church house. I reminded you last week of my age because they've not remade Pinocchio in the last several years. But I can remember in Pinocchio, a Disney movie. It's non-Christian, right? It's as worldly as it comes. But even in that, we found where Geppetto and Jiminy Cricket found themselves looking for Pinocchio on the sea, and a big major storm come up, and a giant whale swallowed them whole. Reckon where they found that storyline. I know. Shortly after starting this series and looking at the story of Jonah, the Snowmageddon of 2021 come along, and we all got stuck at home for days. And me and my family started a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie marathon. And they told me, well, now we know why you did this, because this story even made it into there. As Iron Man flew up to the giant flying monster, he asked Jarvis, you ever heard the story of Jonah and the whale? Jarvis says, I don't think he was a role model you want to follow after. This story transcends Christianity and Scripture. Everybody knows it. They accuse me of that's why I started this series. It's not. I reminded them we watched that after the fact. I'm weird, but that's not why I'm preaching this. But I ask you, do you know why this story is here? Do you know what Scripture is trying to teach you with this? God put the story of Jonah and the whale in Scripture for a reason. Every word of God is inspired of God, and it is here on purpose, and everything we need to know and understand about God is given to us in a very small group of text. And He includes the book of Jonah in here. What is He truly trying to get us to understand from the story of Jonah and the whale? Now, I would be amiss if I just totally skipped over the obvious. There's a reason that this story transcends Christianity and everybody knows the story of Jonah and the whale. That's a pretty phenomenal story, isn't it? I tell you, I believe, I firmly believe, I want you to know and understand this. This is not a fable, this is not a story, this is not poetic, this is not a comparison to how bad his life is. I can tell you, I've got my Jonah and the whale time in my life, and I'll tell you about it, but I was not literally swallowed up by a fish. This is not poetic. This happened. There was a man that was literally swallowed by a whale, and he lived inside that whale for 3 days. I believe that. That is a phenomenal miracle. It is a miracle that is so large that Jesus compared it to the very fact that, you know, the tomb's empty this morning. This miracle is so large that Jesus, when others came to him and said, "We want a sign that you're really the Messiah. Prove to us that you're the Messiah." And he says, "A crooked and perverse nation wants a sign. They're ones that aren't willing to accept the word want a sign. So, okay, here's your sign. The prophet Jonah was in the whale for 3 days. So will I be in the belly of the earth for 3 days." And that's why I believe he was literally in there for 3 days. And I'll throw this out there and I'll get off the little rabbit trail. That's why I don't believe he died on a Friday. You can't fit Friday to Sunday and make it 3 days. We'll move on from there. This is a phenomenal miracle. Did you know that you serve and you worship and you're trying to learn and understand a miraculous God? A God that is so awesome that He can sustain the life of a person in the belly of a whale. And it wasn't like Pinocchio. Y'all remember, it swallowed them boat and all. It kills me the image. He's sitting inside the belly of a whale still fishing. That's my kind of guy. To the point that to try to get out, they start a fire so that the whale will sneeze from the smoke. That's not the circumstance with Jonah. I want y'all to picture this morning, because this is going to play into what's on my mind this morning. I'm being a little silly. I want you to understand this. I want this to be personal, because Scripture is personal. I am not largely a claustrophobic person. I'll go lots of places. I love caves. I think they're awesome. I love to walk around them and look in them. You can't hardly melt and pour my wife into one. She is claustrophobic. She's so claustrophobic, she stands on a boat in the middle of the ocean and she feels suffocating because of the water that's under her. She's not even in it. I'm not overtly claustrophobic. But I tell you, if you get put in the right circumstance, you'll find out how claustrophobic you really are. I can remember one moment when I was in the fire department world and we were doing search and rescue training, and they put you in a mask that's completely blacked out. You cannot see anything. I was always thankful I could look straight down and just right through the crack I could see the flash of light from my SCBA. I loved that flashy light. It made me feel a little bit more comfortable. I still had something I could see. And they would take 55-gallon drums and weld them together. A grown man that's big-boned, like myself, and a SCBA on his back, when he tries to crawl through a 55-gallon drum, the most you can do is wiggle to try to move. I was okay with that until my airline got slightly kinked. I found out just how claustrophobic I really was. Jonah didn't have room to be sitting on a boat fishing. Pitch black. Wet. Smelly. Nasty. so bad that he said it was the same as being in hell itself for 3 days. But God kept him alive. I want y'all to read his prayer at that time, and that's what's really on my mind this morning. In Jonah chapter 2, starting in verse 7, Jonah is in the whale at this moment. He has been swallowed whole. Wasn't chewed up. Just swallowed him like a pill. Amazing, isn't it? That's an awesome God that can make that happen. And this man's alive and thinking. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pray that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. If you wanted a title, a short condensed summary of what God is wanting us to learn and understand from the story of Jonah and the whale, it's found right there at the end of that prayer. I will pray. I will give that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. That is the message of Jonah and the whale. There's a lot going on at this moment. Jonah has found himself on the absolute wrong side of the Lord at this time. He has willingly walked away from him. He has been willing to thumb his nose in the Lord's face and go in the total opposite direction. He can't claim that he got lost. He can't claim that he got sidetracked. He walked in the complete, utter opposite direction of where God told him to go. And God poured out his chastisement on his son at that moment. And it was painful, it was vengeful, it was coming up against him in a way that was going to break him. And all along, Jonah recognizes he's being saved. That amazes me. Salvation is of the Lord, is the message of Jonah and the whale. What comes to mind when you think about salvation? When I talk to you about salvation is of the Lord, what comes to mind? What forms of salvation? What do you picture when you pray, Lord, save me? Lord, save me from this. When you read the word salvation in Scripture, what comes to mind? Most of the time, heaven. That's the reason for so much confusion and so many different forms of salvation according to so many different forms of Christianity. That's why so many believe you've got to believe, you've got to accept, you've got to ask, you've got to continue, you've got to remember. Women can be saved if they have children. There's all these different forms and ways that you get saved and go home to heaven, because that's what our minds go to with salvation. Because we picture in our minds a salvation is removal from a situation. It's removing from this. And it is at times. There's more than one form of salvation. But all of them are of the Lord. I want us to back up and view this whole moment from a little broader view. Do you know that God was not surprised when Jonah said, "No, I don't want to do that"? Do you think God was surprised when Adam said, "Boy, that fruit looks tasty. Thank you, wife. I think I'll have some too"? No. God was not surprised. And that's not thus saith John. I've got chapter and verse on that. If you look at Jonah chapter 1, the very last verse, We find at this moment, at the very end of the first chapter, the storm is upon them. Jonah has gone the opposite way, and the storm is pouring out on all of them. They've cast Jonah over the side of the ship, and it's amazing. For those on the ship, the storm goes calm. That's of God. God works in those that don't even know Him. Good little message we can learn from Jonah and the whale. They throw him over the side. But read verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. God was not surprised with where Jonah was at. God had prepared this great fish. We're told this fish is a whale by Jesus himself, because when he speaks about this, it says, same as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. We're to find what kind of fish this is. But it says God prepared this fish. God had, y'all listen to this. Oh, this gets really good. I really intended to go straight to the third chapter this morning, but the more I thought about this morning, it wouldn't leave me alone. So, God had the solution before there was ever a problem. God was prepared for this. Now, I want to caution you here. I want to throw this in here. Because it's sad that I think I have to, but the fact of the matter is, there's been teachings over the years that makes it to where I feel like I need to. The fact that God prepared this fish before there was a problem does not mean God caused this to happen. This does not teach fatalism. Y'all hear me? Us old Baptists are prone to fatalism. I caution you every chance I get. The fact that God had already prepared this fish does not mean that God caused Jonah to turn his back on him, caused Jonah and put the thoughts in his mind to buy a ticket, caused Jonah to get on that boat and sin in running away from God so that he could wind up in this fish. God did not cause this to happen any more than I go in there and turn the stove on so that my kid can burn their hand to learn to keep their hand off of it. No, I turn the stove on because it's time to cook supper. I tell them not to, and when they refuse and they put their hand on it, that was their fault. God did not cause Jonah to do this. God did not cause Adam to sin so he could swoop in like Superman and save the day. That's not God. That's not the case. But God is so good. God is so provident. God is so loving that He knows how foolish, stubborn, stiff-necked, and ignorant we can be. That's hallelujah ground.
Amen. Right.
And if you don't think it is, you're being prideful. That's hallelujah ground that God knows how ignorant we can be at times. God knew Jonah was going to do this. And He had a plan. God was not shooting from the hip. God was not seeing what was going to work. God had a fish prepared. I don't know that this is a fish that He created at that moment. I don't know that. But I know that that fish was prepared by God for that moment. And Jonah was saved. Was Jonah saved for heaven by being swallowed by a fish? No. This teaches you a lot about Scripture. Every time you hear the word saved or read the word saved, it's not always talking about heaven. Jonah was saved from drowning. When Peter cried out in a stormy sea because he began to sink, "Lord, save me," Peter was not concerned with heaven at that moment. He was concerned with the fact his lungs were fixed to fill with water and he didn't want it. And he was saved by crying unto the Lord. Now, I can say wholeheartedly that if I was at the bottom of the ocean and I was crying out to the Lord to save me, I don't think this form of salvation would have come to mind. I would personally ask, "Lord, give me strength to get back to the top, to get a breath. Leave me shipwrecked like you did Paul for days. I'll find my way back home. I got the point. Let me get back home." I don't think I'd have prayed for a fish to swallow me up. I don't want to experience that. God knows better. God knows better. God had prepared this fish before there was ever a problem. That's the salvation of God. See, again, God was not surprised when Adam partook of the fruit. You're going to see a lot of parallels here. I hope you do. God was not surprised when Adam bit of the fruit and cast all of humanity into a guaranteed, promised end of hell and separation from Him. That's what sin deserves. And when Adam partook of the fruit, he willingly walked away from God and sinned and cast all of humanity into hell and separation from God. That is a biblical truth. You want another one? God had the solution before the problem existed. Before there was even a world to have a problem in, God had the cure. God knew before the foundation of the world what was going to happen, and He had His people protected before it even got started. There is a salvation of God where He literally pulls you out of that circumstance and prevents you from ever experiencing it. And that's shouting ground. I want y'all to understand, and anybody that's listening online to understand, when that took place, there is not a teaching of election that says God looked at all of humanity and said, "You're going to heaven and I'm going to push you into hell." That is not the election of God. The election of God is God looked at all of humanity and knew Adam was going to cast that entire lot into hell. And He said, "You're mine. I won't allow it." Amen. Y'all get how good that is? God did not cause and will not cause a single person to go to hell. Y'all hear that? Sin does that. But He scooped us up. God prepared Christ for that. God chose Him for that. He prepared Him for that work before there was a problem. He had Him set up and He had a date. He had a time, an exact date, hour, minute, and second that child was going to be conceived in the womb of a virgin. He had an exact moment, date, time, hour, and second that man was going to get nailed to a cross. That's why Jesus so often said, "Now is not my time," but when it was, He said, "My time has come," and He set His face as a flint towards Jerusalem, and He would not be moved from that. God had this prepared before there was a problem. And that fish did its job. Jesus did too. Jesus was prepared before the foundation of the world, and he was sent to this earth, and he did his job to his own destruction. To his own destruction, he did his job. Have y'all noticed where Jonah was spit out? He was spit out on dry ground. Guess where whales don't belong and don't get back to if they go there? Dry ground. The story didn't end well for that whale. To his own destruction, Jesus was willing to go to his own death to do the work he was prepared for before there was even a problem. Is that not awesome?
Yes.
That's what God's trying to get across with Jonah. God's got the solution before we even have a problem. Salvation is of the Lord. But I don't imagine Jonah feels like that's much of a salvation at the time. Again, if I find myself at the bottom of the ocean, I'm not crying out for a whale to scoop me up. I'd be fine with a lifeguard to scoop me up. I'd be fine even with the whale coming along and slapping me with his tail and knocking me back to the top. I don't want to be swallowed by one. I don't imagine that as being what I picture as salvation. But Jonah come to the place where he realized it is. Y'all go with me to Book of Corinthians. I want to try to get this to make sense for us. I want us to see everything that's being taught here. Because this story is so personal for us. We can all relate to Jonah at this moment. The Apostle Paul, did he ever spend time in the belly of a fish? No, I don't find that story in there. I find where he was shipwrecked. I find where he spent time abandoned. I find time where he was bit with a serpent and shook it off in the fire. I find times where he was in prison, but I don't remember any time where he was swallowed up in a whale. But he recognizes that his salvation is of the Lord. And salvation sometimes doesn't look like what we want it to. That's what I want us to see. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is where I want us to go. I want to twist your thoughts a little bit on salvation. I gave you the most blessed one first. I gave you the shouting ground. But sometimes salvation is a little less comfortable. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seemeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. Paul had problems. Paul suffered. We're not given in Scripture exactly what this thorn in the flesh is. We're told that it's a messenger from Satan. So is that an exact person that would not get out of Paul's life? I don't know. I personally kind of reflected over to his conscience of what he had done to the church. I think possibly he went to bed at night and he could not get the image of Stephen saying, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do, as he held the coats. And he was stoned to death. I think it haunted him. But whatever the case may be, this bothered the Apostle Paul. So much so that he cried out to God, "Lord, take this from me. Save me from this." He's crying out. Have you ever cried out to God to remove something from your life and it seems like he just won't do it? You think maybe Jonah cried out, "Save me from this death"? Do you think he was saved when he was swallowed whole? I don't think he thought he was saved when he was swallowed whole. I think after he realized that he'd been there an awful long time and I'm still breathing, he started to get the point. But Paul cried out to the Lord at least three times. Three times, Lord, I have asked you to remove this. And how many of us have had stuff like this in our life? Whether it be a sin that you can't seem to get away from. Whether it be a pain that we can't get away. A sickness that we can't get away from. A dread, a worry. We worry about everything. We think we have to control everything. Whatever the personal situation may be, something that you have asked the Lord, you've begged the Lord, "Help me with this, Lord. Remove this from me, Lord. I don't understand why you keep letting this be in my life." How many have been there? I mean, come on, this is personal. I know. What was God's answer? No. What? I thought you said salvation's of the Lord. I thought if God's so good, why does all of this bad stuff happen? Preacher, you said if I ask, I'll receive. If I knock, it'll be open. Scripture says that. Yeah. You ask, sometimes the answer is going to be no. God knew what Paul needed. God knew what he had given Paul. He had given him revelation that he had not given to other men. I don't find anywhere else in Scripture of anybody else that literally went to heaven and was taught by Jesus Christ himself things that he came back to this earth and said, "It's unlawful for me to even speak it." You think that might give somebody the spiritual big head? Probably so. God told him, "No, I'll not remove it. No, it's not leaving you." What then? Has salvation left you? He said unto me, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This is the situation that Jonah found himself in. He cried out for salvation, and he found himself in the belly of a fish, suffocating in an animal's stomach acids. But still he cried out, "Salvation is of the Lord." God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Does anybody want to guess when the grace was prepared for us? Before this world ever existed, God was big enough, good enough, smart enough, and loving enough to be prepared for anything this world can throw at us. God already had the solution before we could ever have a problem in this world. Amen. God's grace was prepared for us, for this world. He knew what was coming to us in this world. He knew what sin was going to do to this earth. He knew what sin was going to do to our bodies. He knew what sin was going to do to our minds. He knew what sin was going to do to the community, to the nation, and to the world. He's not surprised by what's going on in America, even though we might be. He's not. You know what he had prepared before we had that problem? Grace. He had His grace prepared for us before we had a problem. And He says His grace is sufficient for us. Sometimes it don't feel so sufficient, does it? I want y'all to understand, I want y'all to know this. Scripture's not going to have the effect on you it should have if we are not real. If we don't look at things and accept things as they are given to us in Scripture and be willing to admit our faults and admit our failures and admit our problems, Scripture's not going to have the bearing on it that it should. Y'all be honest with me for a minute. Does God's grace feel sufficient every day? No. It's okay to admit that. You want to know the honest truth? You'll reach a lot more people in this world if you're willing to admit you're just like them. If we try to treat Christianity and following God to be the cure-all for everything, and Christians don't suffer from anything, guess what? You're never going to find a Christian, because we've all got problems. But God's grace is sufficient. That's why that verse in Jonah, I hope you kept your finger there, really rung my bell this morning. And it's what I really want to focus on at this moment when he finds himself in hell itself, he says. His life has come to a point that's absolute misery. And I imagine he started in the first hour praying, "Lord, get me out of here. Get me out of this mess, Lord." I don't think it took him 3 days and three nights to finally say, "Okay, Lord, I'm done. Let's get me out of this." I know it wouldn't me. Again, it stinks in there. And it's claustrophobic. But y'all, listen to verse 9. This is a powerful, powerful verse. "But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving." Now, of all the prayers that you pray, of all the things you go to God for, how often does it feel like a sacrifice to say thank you? That's usually when things are going right, isn't it? I'm usually thanking God because I made it back home from work safely. I made it through the day. The girls are back home. We're all laying in bed. I'm thanking Him for all the blessings. I'm thanking Him for all the good stuff. But Jonah says here, "I will sacrifice the voice of thanksgiving unto you." What does that mean? I don't believe there was one fiber of Jonah's being, of his flesh, at that moment that loves God. Again, we've got to be real. Y'all give me the room for this. How many of you have prayed for the Lord to remove this thing from you and find yourself either A, angry, or B, confused as to why God won't do what you ask? Let's be real. This is personal. Jonah's saying what we need to be willing to admit, but probably won't. When Jonah found himself in hell on this earth, he was willing to, against his own personal feelings, cry out, "God, you're saving me with this." I've told you I've got my personal Jonah story, and I've been saving it, but I can tell you just in real short, I'm not going to go into great detail. If you want great detail, you can ask me. My wife knows my Jonah story. She lived it. In my youth, I thought I could earn enough money to supply my family. I was taught that by others. I was taught that by my bosses, and I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. I was, verse 8, those that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. I think that's Jonah's confession myself. I took a job saying this is going to fix everything for me, and I spent 3 years there. And it like to have killed me physically, mentally, maritally, spiritually, in every way it possibly could. It like to have killed me. When you are so tired, you literally fall asleep walking across the shop. You're doing something you ought not be doing. And it was of my own doing, and it was of my own choice. And you want to know, not until really, if I want to be really honest about it, I had really considered it from this side of the coin till this morning. I have looked at that 3 years as the greatest punishment God has ever poured out on me, and I needed it. I know that. But after thinking about it this morning and looking at it in the context of Scripture and being willing to just be real with y'all for just a minute, God saved my marriage by that 3 years. God saved my spirit in those 3 years. God saved my body in those 3 years. I owe God who I am today because those 3 years I spent in hell on this earth. Salvation is of the Lord. I needed to learn money doesn't fix my problems. I needed to learn, as strong as my young back was in the day, I can't carry the load of this world. And it was not until I found myself there and cried unto Him that He spit me out on dry ground. Salvation is of the Lord. His grace is sufficient. There's a couple of words in that confession that didn't really ring out to me until I wanted to put it into the context of this Scripture. It nearly killed me. I'm alive today. Sometimes, truly the majority of the time, God's salvation is not a removing from the troubles of this world. It's not a removing from the hell you've put yourself in. It's not a removing from the struggles. It's not a removing from the pain and the sickness and the issues of this world. God's salvation is He's carrying us through it and showing us that His grace is sufficient. Are we willing to admit it? Your body may be bruised, it may be beaten, it may be weak, and you may feel like you cannot continue. Guess what? You woke up again this morning. God's grace is sufficient. You may feel like you try and you try and you try and you try and you can't overcome everything that's in your life, but you're still here today. You're still in the church. You're still reading the Bible. You're still celebrating the fact that you've got a heaven coming to you. God's grace. It's sufficient for you. Are you willing to get over your own feelings and sacrifice the voice of thanksgiving? God, I needed for you to break me down. I needed you to show me that it is only your grace that can suffice me. I needed you to strip everything I had away from me. I needed for you to carry me through something that I know I could not have sustained myself through. Are we willing to break our voices open and give Him the sacrifice of thanksgiving when we are in the middle of hell on this earth? That's where God put Jonah. God put him here. God did not cause him to sin. But God prepared that fish. God told that fish to swallow him up. And God held that mouth, that fish's mouth, shut for 3 days. And he left Jonah in that condition until he was absolutely, utterly broken. And when he cried out, "Lord, I will give that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." That fish beached himself to his own destruction. Lord, if you can't see Jesus in that fish, y'all ain't been listening this morning. That whale beached himself to his own destruction and vomited him. Sometimes our recovery is uglier than the past. Scripture doesn't mince words. It vomited him onto dry ground. In my time in the medical field, I can deal with just about everything but that. It vomited him on the dry ground. Where did he find himself? Right back where he started. Whole and complete. He may have felt like he was going to die. He may have felt like he was nearly going to die. It amazes me. You want to know where I found myself after 3 years? Right back in the job I left when I went there. Amazing. He found himself right back on dry ground, and you know what God told him? Go to Nineveh. God hit the reset button on him. He wound up right back where he left. Except now, Jonah says, "Okay, Lord, you got my attention." Did y'all get the attention? Did y'all hear it? There's a whole lot to learn from this little fish story. I thank you, and God bless.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ.
Thank you again for joining us at Salem Primitive Baptist Church. I pray that the Word of God may brightly shine in your lives. If you would like to contact us or would like to download a copy of today's message, please go to www.salempbchurch.com. God bless you all.
Who died for me?
Sing His praise.
Sing His praise.
The saints in glory.
The saints in glory.
Gathered by
the crystal sea.